Welcome to Culture and Conversations. I'm your host, Jameson Smallwood, and I'm about to make you part of the conversation. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you guys for downloading. Thank you guys for subscribing to Culture and Conversations. Thank you for sharing it on your social media and helping people to find the show. It really does make a difference when you take the time to share this episode on your social media. Also, before we get too far in the episode, please go by your favorite podcasting directory, whether that be iTunes, Google Play, or Spotify, or some other podcasting directory, and leave me a 5-star review and a comment letting people know that Culture and Conversations is worth a listen. Up next on Culture and Conversations, I have a conversation with a good friend, Gloria, from my days at Georgia Southern. Gloria stops by to talk about her journey with hair, and this conversation was so good that I had to break the episode up into two parts. So this is going to be part one of Gloria's conversation with me up next on Culture and Conversations. Yes, I'm your host, Jameson Smallwood, and this is Culture and Conversations. Thank you guys for listening and sharing this content on your social media and supporting the podcast by telling people about Culture and Conversations. It really does make a difference. So me and one of my friends, Gloria, were on Facebook, and we were talking about the movie Napoli Ever After, starring Sanaa Lathan. And Napoli Ever After is available for instant viewing on Netflix. We talked about this movie. She started watching it before me, and we got so compelled by the subject matter that we decided to sit down and record a whole podcast dedicated to the topic of hair in the Black community. Gloria is somewhat of an expert because Gloria went through a journey of transitioning her hair from what we call processed hair to natural hair, which is hair that doesn't have any chemical alterations to it. So up next on Culture and Conversations, I'm going to give you guys a chance to hear from Gloria talking about her journey with her hair. And on part two of this episode that I'm releasing at the same time as this episode, you'll hear us talk about and review Napoli Ever After, starring Sanaa Lathan. Up next on Culture and Conversations, my friend Gloria. Hey, Culture and Conversations family. I have on the phone my good friend Gloria from my days at Georgia Southern. And Gloria is here to talk with me and with you about her hair. In particular, her hair journey. Hair is a very intricate part of the African-American culture and experience. And Gloria has schooled me over the years about hair. And I decided that she would be a great person to talk to about this topic on Culture and Conversation. So I'd like to welcome to the conversation, Gloria. Hey, Gloria, how are you doing?
Hey, Jameson, how are you?
I am doing pretty good. Doing pretty good.
Great.
I am really happy that I nailed that introduction. Yes, it was flawless. So, Gloria, let me help the audience understand why you're on the show. So,
okay. You,
years ago, many years ago now, it seems, I hate to say many because that means that I've experienced those same years with you, but many years ago, you started a hair journey, and you were very much at the forefront of what we call the natural hair movement as African Americans, as Black folk. So let me go all the way back to the beginning. So when did you become aware of your hair and how deep it impacted your image of yourself and how others saw you?
Right. That, let's see, I would say in high school, I really wore my hair in braids, and I also wore tracks. And at the time, I finished up high school in 2000. So we're talking about, I came of age in high school, 96 through 2000. And so micro braids ran, so a lot of that.
Mm-hmm.
And so much of my self-image was tied to how my hair looked and how straight it was or how many compliments I received on my hair. And I typically only felt really good about my self-image if my hair was long and straight.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and Jameson, you know this, I love Lauryn Hill. And so I just remember probably the first music video I saw her in, Fuji La. And here was this dark-skinned woman with a large nose, large lips, and this short hair.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, she is beautiful.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, if she is beautiful, and this, it might seem elementary right now, but I was like, wow, if she's beautiful, that means that it's possible, right, to mm-hmm. be a dark-skinned woman who is unmistakably Black when wearing your hair without braids or relaxer or anything else. And so, let's see, I don't know, that had a huge impact on me. And so I probably say it was in high school that I knew eventually I would stop relaxing my hair and wearing braids. I just didn't know kind of how quickly after high school that would come. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
So I think that's a good place for us to help the audience with some terms. When we say natural hair, we're talking about your natural hair texture where you haven't added chemicals or had it done, as we would say, quote unquote, by a stylist or by a salon to actually change the texture of your hair through chemical applications. It's just how your hair grows out of your scalp.
Yeah. And I would even add to that, and some people may disagree with me on this, but definitely not changing your hair with chemicals, but mm-hmm. then like just not changing the texture of your hair at all. So not even like straight comb or anything like that, or hot comb.
Okay.
That's typically what I think of as well. Some people may disagree because there are lots of different arguments back and forth. There are some who would argue that even if you dye your hair a different color, but your hair is still in its natural texture, mm-hmm. which for many Black women is tightly coiled hair, that you're not natural because you've changed the color of your hair.
Oh,
so
wow.
There, you know, some folks are more conservative in their definition. And I have to admit that over the years, I've kind of loosened up on my definition as well, because I'm just in a different place than I was when I first did it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, just adding a little bit to that definition.
Nah, it helps because, you know, people need to know what we're talking about when we say natural hair. And mm-hmm. the reason why the whole hair texture thing became an industry, became a business, it's a billion-dollar business here in America, if not multi-billion dollar, is because African-Americans were trying to assimilate, and the mm-hmm. image of beauty that they saw in their culture, on TV, in media, in print, was a Eurocentric view of beauty where all the women had flowing long hair, blonde hair, and it did not match the texture that naturally occurs when we let our hair grow the way it normally and naturally grows.
Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. that's what we mean when we say natural hair. So if you ever wonder why Black women and Black men to some degree are sensitive about our hair, it's because it's part of our racial identity and how we've had to sort of integrate into society after slavery. And we have grown in a lot of different ways to accept who we are as people. And some of us are still going through that awakening. But that's why it's such a big topic about hair, and for women, especially because it's a part of how you guys distinguish yourself from men, even though that's a conversation point in itself. You know, when you think about natural hair, you said that, okay, you've got this, you had this rigid definition. Is mm-hmm. there, is it more of a definition that came out of other life experiences that you were going through at the time? Or is it just, hey, this is what I researched on the internet, and this is the community of women and how they define natural hair? Where did right. that definition for you come from?
I think it's a mix of both. So it came from it was like a complete mental pendulum swing, right? So I went from, you know, I'm relaxing my hair. I was wearing micro braids that were a different color. So I wore my hair in an auburn color, which is very interesting when I look back at old pictures. And I did all these things to my hair. So when I went natural, for me, what that meant for me was not doing any of that. So no coloring, no straightening, we're not going to do a Texlax or a texturizer. We're not doing any of that. Like mm-hmm. you will wear your hair in its natural texture. in its natural color. And so that, so you had that. But then too, I want to give a shout out to some of the early communities that really impacted my thinking and were really a support system for me when I first went natural back in the early 2000s. You know, some of my thinking about that was impacted at naturality.com. And then I also think about another website I visited a lot, Roshiini, which is now, she calls herself Glamazini now. She still has a bit of a following out on Facebook. And then also Motown Girl. Like, some of these were the early places you could go on the web to kind of get instructions on what to do with your hair. Like, first of all, YouTube wasn't even a thing at the time. I know you know, all these natural hairstyle gurus where you can kind of just hop out on YouTube and, you know, figure out what products you should wear in your hair and kind of have some type of, you know, thought leadership around how to proceed in this journey that no one else was pursuing. But that didn't exist. And so it was a very kind of like small community with a lot of people online kind of returning. Because one thing I will say is that things are working cycles, right? So our parents, as I think about our ages and the parents in the ages of our parents, I mean, this is a return to what was happening in the 60s and what was happening in the 70s in terms of hair and wearing one's hair natural. And because of that, obviously, there are a lot of political connotations to the way that Black folks wear their hair, Black women in particular. But anyway, going back to your original question, it was me just needing to be myself all the way, no color, no change in the texture. And then also what I was able to research online being kind of influencing my thoughts on that.
Yeah, I think when you talk about YouTube, that's a really good point to bring up, and also a good way of framing this timeline of your journey, because YouTube did not exist in the way YouTube exists today. The community wasn't there. People were still trying to figure out how to use YouTube, and also the technology problems that existed at the time, where you just couldn't upload video content that was long enough to really do what you're trying to do in terms of communicate information and show people how to's. And then the cameras weren't great enough back then to show you the detail and show you hair texture and how things change. So we live in a very different age now. And to your point, you know, yeah, those message boards and those communities that you went to, those were the channels for getting information out into the world. And it's amazing how your hair journey and the journey of the natural hair community and movement has come from those early days of message boards and blogs and websites and, you know, chat rooms and forums and stuff. So.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, just to put, you know, to hit that home a little bit more, I did my big chop, my BC, and women who are familiar with this whole natural hair community know very well what I'm talking about. I did that in 2002.
Wow.
And so you got to think, YouTube wasn't even launched until 2005.
So
back when I'm on the web searching, it was folks that were really building web pages from scratch. Like, you got to think, like, people didn't even have web pages like that.
Yeah.
So for there to be a message board out there, that was really kind of revolutionary in terms of what the woman who managed that site, the service that she was providing for so many women at the time. You know, now you can go to, you know, a Walmart. You can go to any store where they sell so-called ethnic hair care products.
That's it.
And there will be a natural hair hairline. That didn't exist.
No.
So we're just even trying to figure out which products to use, like what should we be doing, and what chemicals should we avoid, or what the big thing everyone was against was sulfates and mineral oil. Don't use those two things. And I don't know. It's really interesting to think about, because I think with the advent of like a Facebook, which again, we didn't really see it widespread, right, until like 2005. I think that's when I was able to get my account. And then even Facebook looked so much different. But I think social media really helped advance this entire movement in terms of women returning to their naturally textured hair, because that there was that support, right? You saw so many people doing it, mm-hmm. even if they weren't doing it right there with you, it was something that you could kind of just like get on and see your favorite YouTuber doing, showing you how to do styles. How should I wear my hair to this interview? What's a really good updo for a wedding? Mm-hmm. All things that kind of, when the movement started to kind of bubble up a little bit in the early 2000s, that was all stuff that we didn't know, because frankly, when I, you know, think about it, when I first started talking about going natural, my folks thought I was crazy. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So that I couldn't even really get advice from people who had worn their hair like that. You know? It's just very interesting how it's all kind of come about. And I'm so happy to see so many women who are embracing the natural texture of their hair.
Well, I think the part that, you know, caught my ear all those years ago is I didn't realize how indoctrinated I was about women and their hair, and how I assumed it had to look a certain way in order for it to be a feminine hairstyle or a beautiful hairstyle. And I think you were instrumental as my friend in bringing me into this new perspective on hair and women, how they see their self-image, because you told me in numerous exchanges and conversations, all of them with varying degrees of civility, where you said, hey, you know, this is why this is important, Jameson. This is why you see things the way you do. And, mm-hmm. And what we mean by that is when you're shown an image of beauty and you're told what's beautiful over and over again, it begins to shape how you see what is beautiful. And you don't just observe something, say, hey, well, I like that. You go and you're led by peer pressure. You're led by influences and marketing and advertisement to say, hey, this is what beautiful is. And this is what beauty should be. And this is how a woman should be wearing her hair if she wants to be considered beautiful. And when I listened to all those conversations we had and all of that, those, you know, back and forth we had about that, it really helped me see that, yeah, that is part of my journey, is that I am influenced by what everybody around me says is beautiful, instead of just looking at women for who they are and saying, okay, well, this is what I truly like, without it being predefined for me by somebody else's standard of beauty.
Right. Well, I think something else you've mentioned there is, you know, we tie in the Black community, and probably just, you know, in the majority culture as well, tie the length of one's hair, a woman's hair, to her femininity, mm-hmm. right? So I think a struggle that many women go through, and I know I went through when I chose to, you know, cut off the relaxed ends before I had a lot of length, and I was rocking that TWA, that teeny weeny afro. what I really struggled with was, oh man, people are going to think I'm a boy because mm-hmm. I'm wearing my hair short. And so what are some ways that I can compensate for that or feel more feminine? Well, I will make sure I have on makeup, or I'll make sure that I wear a scarf with it, or maybe my earrings need to be a little bigger, or mm-hmm. when I do this, maybe I need to make sure I have on a flowy skirt or like a nice blouse so that people will recognize that I'm a woman. And that's kind of wild, right? Or maybe it's not, but I just know that that's something that we have been kind of socialized to associate. And masculinity, that short hair, femininity, mm-hmm. that's long hair, tightly coiled hair, that's masculine, right? Mm-hmm. And straight, flowy hair, that's feminine. Mm-hmm. And I think that you even see that with men who choose to wear their hair in its natural texture, but they're wearing it long, right? Mm-hmm. Those who have looser curled hair, or like a three type hair instead of like a four type hair, so they're considered pretty boys, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you think about all the things, and there's a reason for that. It's because we're associating femininity with that hair texture and that length. And so I know that when women are deciding whether they want to embark on this journey, there are a couple more tools that are available that weren't quite available when I first started out. And that is, you now can buy kinky weave.
Yeah.
So that you don't have to go, you know, and wear your hair out short. You don't have to do that. You can skip that part. You can go ahead and grab that length back so that you can feel more comfortable doing it. But I'll never forget when I cut my hair. It was very interesting. I just got completely frustrated because this is something else that women who are going through this natural hair journey understand completely. You can't rock two textures of hair.
No.
Rock. Let me take a step back. You can't for a very long time keep that chemically processed hair and have that new growth coming in because it will start to break at the line of demarcation.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes. And so you will have patches of hair that are just kind of breaking off. And so I got to a point where I needed to make a decision. And I made a decision late one night after washing my hair. I was like, you're being ridiculous. You just need to cut these straight ends off. You look crazy.
Mm.
And I did. And I grabbed the nearest pair of scissors. I'm sure that I had used to cut some duct tape or a box or something somewhere. And I just cut it all off. And I put a little scarf on it. But I remember being terrified, Jameson. I lived in Sanford Hall at the time, and I challenged myself because I had nowhere to hide anymore.
Mm.
So I challenged myself to like go to the library. It was like close to midnight, just with my hair out with a little scarf. And I remember feeling like every eye in the room was on me, every single eye. And I'm sure nobody was looking at me.
No,
you know what I mean? But I was afraid, you know, to wear my hair that short. Because, again, I don't want anybody to think I'm a boy.
Yeah.
Or I don't want anyone to tie this to my sexuality, which is a very interesting discussion in and of itself, right? So,
well, and I think that's what the piece I was going to chime in on is part of the difficulty now with women, you know, having short haircuts is that women who want to express their sexuality as being somewhat counter to the classical sexualities of, heterosexuality, they cut their hair real low to look like men. And there is a whole subculture within the LGBTQ community where women cut their hair really short to send the vibe out. And I hate to use the word vibe, but to send out
You're gonna get comments on that.
Yeah, I know. To send out.
You're gonna get comments, but go ahead.
I want comments. Bring the comments on, please. Cultureandconversations@gmail.com.
That's it.
But they send out the image that they're men when by cutting their hair and wearing masculine clothes and even I know I've experienced this where I was sitting in one of my friend's house and one of his roommates is a gay woman, and she was leaving to go out on the town with her girlfriend, and you know she was trying to convey masculinity, so she had on masculine clothes, and I smelled my cologne that I have at the house. I said, "Wait a minute!" And I was confused for a second, right, because I'm smelling a woman wearing cologne, but in hindsight, that's what she was trying to communicate, right? She was trying to communicate this image of masculinity. So when the fast forward talking about hair, it's the same thing that now you've got other cultures, and I should say, I hate to say cultures, but you know, other subgroups or subcultures in our community who use short hair as a message of defining their sexuality. While you've got women who are heterosexual, who have embraced for years the classic image of femininity, they are now trying to, you know, they're trying to also have access to that same hairstyle, if you will, and yet keep their image to the culture and other people of being feminine and of being, you know, being straight women and not being gay women. So it is a fascinating collision, if you will, between the homosexual community, and also the straight community, but the women are trying to wear the same hairstyles, but at the same time with different agendas behind them. It's really fascinating.
Oh my goodness. But you know what, Jameson, you know what this says to me though, is that I remember, that song, "I Am Not My Hair," right? Remember that
by
song?
NDIRE, yeah.
And I remember everyone would jam to that song and say, "Yeah, I am not my hair. I'm the person within, blah, 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 blah." And I feel the spirit in which NDIRE was singing that, and I feel the spirit in which that song was written. But the fact is, it's just not true. right?
That's true.
Like, unfortunately, there are perceptions that are tied to hair. Unfortunately, and we're speaking on Black women and natural hair journey and texture and length, there are... People make some assumptions about sexuality. People make assumptions about political leanings. People make assumptions about socioeconomic class. People make all types of assumptions about heritage. Black women based on their hair. Yes, heritage based on their hair and their hair texture and this choice. So, and what you were just speaking to is kind of, that's it. There are perceptions tied to this hair. So whether you want it to be a statement on anything, right? What if I just want to cut my hair? What if I just want to not wear relaxers anymore? What if I today decide that I want to wear an afro out, but tomorrow I want to wear a straight wig? All of these things, you're making statements every single time you do that.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes the statement you're making is being put upon you. You're not really trying to.
Exactly.
But that's just a reality of Black women in hair.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And I mean, I'm not a Black woman, and so I'm not going to try to speak for Black women, but as a Black man, I know that when I started to cut my hair really low, even lower than what people considered low for an African-American man, I got a lot of questions from my dad. You know, my dad was like, man, you got a bald head. I'm like, no, it's not bald. It's almost bald, but it's not bald. There's some hair there. There's a faint hairline, you know, and, you know, we might call that a Caesar, you know, where it's cut real low, you know. So there's a whole glossary around Black hair that people have to get up on. So and we're going to talk about some of those definitions before we transition and finish up talking about your journey, and also then start talking about this movie that we watched last night together.
Oh,
so.
Yeah.
But my dad asked me all these questions, you know. He was like, you know, you walking around with a bald head. I'm like, no, it's not bald. It's just cut low. And I had reasons for doing it. You know, one, when I grow my hair out, I develop the worst case of dandruff. I have, I can't even think of the medical term for it, but basically it's like dandruff, really bad, you know, dandruff on steroids. It's the worst dandruff you can have. And
right, so you have to wear it really, really low to keep your scalp healthy.
Exactly, to keep the air getting to it, to be able to get you know, shampoos to it, and also to keep it breathing and keep it moist and with oils and stuff, you know. And I know oil doesn't help dandruff, but it's just the cosmetic, you know, application. The application of oil, because that's one of the conversations we had about dandruff one time. You were like, oh, it does not help dandruff, James. I was like, okay.
It doesn't.
No, I agree.
You are exacerbating the situation.
No, I agree.
Exacerbating it.
I agree. Yeah. So typically, I don't even put oil on my hair anymore. I do on occasion, but I don't, you know, usually as a course of practice. So with all of that said, I do all of that to manage my dandruff. But my dad thought I was doing it because I was trying to make some kind of a cultural statement or some kind of social statement, you know. And we started talking about, you know, he's like, yeah, the brothers, they love wearing bald heads. I'm like, Dad, I'm not doing it for that. You know, I'm doing it because this makes it super easy for me to maintain my hair. So, but I mean, to your point, though, bringing this conversation back home a little bit. Yeah. You know, we are represented by our hair. Our hair is one of the indicators of our gender. Men have typically shorter hair, regardless of what race you're talking about. And women typically have longer hair, regardless of what race you're talking about. And that's how we identify each other. You know, the anthropologists and the evolutionists would say that we evolved these things or these perceptions of ourselves so that we can determine who's fit to mate with and all this stuff. So, you know, and regardless of if you take that stance or if you take a spiritual stance that a woman's hair is her glory, as the Bible describes it, is her covering before the Lord, you know, all of these things have impact. So you've got a religious intersection there. You've got a cultural intersection there. You've got a scientific intersection there. It's just so much that goes into hair, and you would be surprised, you know, just by how it affects us. And I mean, for you to tell your story about your big chop, for those people listening, the big chop is when a woman cuts off, as Gloria describes, the processed or the chemically altered parts of her hair. And she cuts it down to what they call the new growth, which is the hair that's readily emerging from her scalp. And so that's the new growth. And so when you do that though, obviously you use a lot of hair. And little known secret, black women, their hair doesn't grow as fast as white women's hair or European women's hair or Caucasian women's hair or Asian women's hair. So for her to have long hair, that's an investment of time on her part. And that represents an investment of time when she cuts it off that she's losing, because she put time into growing her hair that long. So it represents a passage of time in her life as well. So there's a lot that goes into the big chop. So it's not the easiest.
I'm going to argue with you real quick.
Okay.
Because what I would say is not that a black woman's hair doesn't grow at the same speed, but that a black woman's hair, particularly those who have type 4 hair, and I hate the hair type, but I think it helps to categorize things sometimes.
Okay.
That those who have type 4 hair, it shows length differently or slower. So that my hair doesn't grow down, it grows out and up, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if that hair were to be stretched, you would see the length. And if it's kept healthy and you're not breaking your ends off and popping it out and doing all kind of damage to it through heat damage, trying to blow it out and show length and everything all the time, that hair will grow. I think it's like half an inch a month.
Mm-hmm.
Half an inch to an inch a month, so it will grow. Hair is hair; it'll grow. It's not going to show length at the same though. So I don't know. That's been my experience, but I know you probably have done some research as well. But it's just, I mean, just saying.
No. I mean, I see what you're saying. I think we're both kind of right. What I'm saying is that my hair compared to a white man's hair doesn't grow that fast.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's just that's a racial difference. That's like biological. But to your point, the perception of that hair length is tied back to the coarseness of our hair and the texture. And if, like you said, how it shows length. So part of the perception that it doesn't grow as fast comes back to how it shows and expresses its length.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but at the same time, I know for a fact, like, you know, my white friends, if we let our hair just grow, my hair will still be shorter relative to theirs. And so it's just different though. But I could be wrong. I mean, I'm not the expert on this. This is why you're on the show. So I'm not going to fight with
that
the experts.
So
I concede. So, let's see let me ask you this then. Were there any health benefits for you in terms of your scalp when you decided to stop applying chemicals to your hair to change the texture?
You know what? I'm going to say no, there weren't.
Wow.
That is a really great question. And no, I think, because you would expect that someone would say, yeah, you know, my scalp was better. It was healthier. I didn't have to deal with X, Y, Z, L, M, and P. That wasn't my experience. I think the results that I saw, or the outcomes I saw from where my hair natural, was more of like self-acceptance. And more honestly, Jameson, of me feeling like for the first time I was actually expressing myself as my true self. Does that make any sense?
It does.
So it was like, it was very freeing for me to say, I am just wearing my hair like this. I looked the way that I felt like I should have always looked. Because like I said, from high school, I wanted to go natural.
Okay.
But it was very much like my mom was like, no, like straight up. She was like, no, you're not. I'm not going to allow you to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then when I got to my freshman year, I was like, oh, I'm going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was like some, I hesitated and I was very afraid because I was in it by myself. And as I think about Georgia Southern campus and the black community on Georgia Southern campus at the time, there were legit, after when I did it, maybe 5 or 6 other women on campus that were in their hair natural,
mm-hmm.
of everyone. And I can still think of who they are.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, but right now you can't go on campus. You can throw a rock in any direction and hit a chick that's wearing her hair natural. Like it's not a big deal anymore. You know what I mean?
So that brings me to the question that I want to, I guess, transition us into the next part of our conversation with. You are a trendsetter with this. You are the person in my friend group that was the first person I knew who was wearing their hair natural. Now, you know, or I'm not going to say wearing their hair natural, but you're the first person I know who was adamant about going from processed hair to wearing your natural hair. Now, I met other women at Georgia Southern who were already wearing natural hair, but they didn't, but they never were doing it in a journey sense of transitioning from one hair hairstyle to the next. You were, though. You were the first person saying, you know what, this is what I'm doing for me in terms of how I want to express myself. So with that said, now that it is such a fashionable thing, how do you feel about, you know, being the first to do it, roughly speaking, in our larger friend circle, in our larger social network, to now seeing everybody hollering about, you know, natural hair? I'm sure that's going to get me some hate mail saying hollering about, but you know, but that everybody, everybody's out here now championing natural hair and saying how natural hair is the greatest thing since sliced bread.
Right. Okay. So, what I would say is I do think that I will claim that I was on the front end of this
trendsetter.
Yeah, what, I'm not going to call it a trendsetter, but I was on the front end.
You're the forerunner.
Right. Cause we're talking about early 2000s on this, of this new resurgence of this movement. Right.
Yes.
But, pioneer. My opinions, my thoughts have really evolved over time, right? So when I first cut my hair off Jameson, I was like a jerk. Like, I really was. I was really a jerk. And it was like, you know, I remember I went home and my sister saw me and she literally, she thought something was wrong with me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I was like, no, you just need to understand why your mind thinks that this is wrong. You have a Eurocentric standard of beauty.
Yeah.
You have been brainwashed by the man. Why don't you love yourself? Who taught you to hate your skin, Marcia? You know, that was me. You know what I mean? And that was me for several years, right?
Okay.
And it was annoying. Like, I'm sure I was annoying. Now, what I was saying was true. So I stand by what I was saying was true.
Sure.
It was one of those things where I was very, I wouldn't say I was judgmental. Like, I got to stay in my own lane and be very comfortable with me doing it by myself and not feeling like I needed to influence people to join me in this. Like, this was my own thing that I was doing, right? But at the same time, you wouldn't have made, like, so many, like, in those early days, I'll never forget, I was somewhere and a black woman asked me how I got my hair like that. I was wearing my hair in a puff, like just up in an Afro puff. She's like, how'd you get your hair like that? I said, I just pulled it back. Like, it was just weird. I constantly ran into black people that didn't understand that that was my hair.
Yeah.
And they're like, that was the texture of my hair. And got so many weird questions. And there's so many weird statements, right, Jameson?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you pull that off, girl. I couldn't do it. Oh, my, I can't tell you how many times I heard that, Jay. Oh, I couldn't do it like that, girl. Yeah, it looks good on you, but everybody can't wear their hair natural, which I still, and I know there's still people that feel that way, right? Everyone can't wear their hair natural. I disagree because that's the way it grows out of your scalp. It is what it is. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody has differing opinions, but I'm not nearly today as kind of over your head about it as I was then. I compare it to the cage stage when I began to embrace the doctrines of grace, right?
Yeah.
Where I'm just like, everybody, I got to tell everybody about total depravity and I got to tell everybody about limited atonement. Like, I'm just all over the place. And that might've just kind of thrown us all into left field. People are like, what is she talking about? But either way, it was just a militancy.
Let me give them the plug. If you want to know what we're talking about, go over to renewedmindpodcast.com and you can listen to that podcast episode. If the website's working.
Calvinism.
So yeah, just go to iTunes and type in Renew Mind Podcast and you'll find me and Gloria talking about this very topic that she just alluded to. So yeah, shameless plug.
And so I think I've kind of, so now we're in year, where are we at?
16?
Year 16. Yeah. Year 16 for me, right? And now I have locks, and I've had locks since I started them or had my aunt start them on New Year's Eve 2005, and she finished them January 1st, 2006. Mm. And I did that on purpose. I wanted to enter the new year with these locks, right? And so, because why does everything got to be a grand gesture with me? Because I'm a weirdo. I'm just real extra like that, right?
That sounds like a sermon in a black church on New Year's Eve night, you know, on watch night service. You know, we leaving the old behind, you know.
I had issues. Like, I just, that's the best way I can explain it. There was just like, not a level of self-importance, but really just taking things too seriously, frankly. So anyway, so now here I am, we're in 2018, and I can say in those early days, so once we hit like 2007, 2008, and now everybody wants to post their natural hair pics and posting their big chop on Facebook. And I was just like literally rolling my eyes, like, womp, 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 bad trombone. Especially when I saw people who were those people who were kind of like, okay, well, what are you going to do with your hair? And are you going to straighten it when you go to interviews? And oh my goodness, like, what's next when you do that? Like, what do you do to it? And I'm like, dude, you just wear it, sis. Like, what are you talking about, right?
Yeah.
And so when you start seeing those people kind of, 5 years later, jump on board, there's like the big eye roll, right? But also the happiness for them, because I see their excitement and I see that they experience or they are experiencing or were experiencing what I experienced when I first did it.
So,
and so now I'm less grumpy. I'm less grumpy, and people wear their hair how they want to wear their hair. It just is what it is. It is so prevalent now that I kind of kick myself that I didn't in the early days, like hop on the YouTube train and go ahead and get a YouTube channel started.
Get that money.
I'm like, girl, why didn't you do that? You could have got that money. You could have been monetized, girl. You could have been somewhere like doing something. You could have spun that off into a hustle, but I didn't, you know, missed opportunity. But I'm much nicer about it now. And if people ask me questions about my hair, I answer them. I get, you know, the lock community is so much different than the loose hair community, though, which is funny. Back in those days, too, when no one else was really wearing their hair natural, Jameson, you would see a woman like every now and then, every couple of days or every once a month, you would see a woman like in the store and she's wearing her hair loose, natural. Mm-hmm. And you guys made that eye contact and did like that subtle like, hey, sis. Mm-hmm. You did, what's up? Oh, you look beautiful today. You would do that type of thing to like give that affirmation because we understood we weren't getting it anywhere else.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But it's not like that in the lock community, frankly. It is not. And I noticed that when I started them back in 2006. We just ignore each other. We're kind of rude and kind of bougie and judgmental. And so that's how we feel. Like we don't think most of us don't like those faux locks. We think they're whack. it's like you need to grow your hair. And frankly, locks were the last place a natural person could go where no one would, where you couldn't fake your hair.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Mm-hmm. With the puff, people started selling the puff so you could just pop it on top of your head and then everything. But locks were that last place you could go. And now you can't even go there.
No.
But
no.
I'm in a different place mentally, so I don't care. But yeah, I celebrate women who choose to wear their hair no matter how they choose to wear their hair. I celebrate women who are going natural for the first time or for the fifth time. That's their own business. And my next step is something that I've wanted to do for years, but I have not gotten the stamp of approval. And I don't care. Don't at me. I do care what my husband says. So don't at me. And I do want to wear my hair in a fade. And I've wanted that probably for about 5 or 6 years, but he's just not with it. So yeah. I've worn my hair. My locks have been as short as 2 inches. And my locks have touched the top, you know, touched the top of my bottom until I cut my hair. I had my aunt cut my hair about a month or so ago. So I've had it long. I've had it short. I've had it up. I've had it down. I've worn it curled. I've worn it every which way you can wear it. I've done everything to it but color it. And I'm not interested in coloring it. So, because again, that's not my deal.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Yeah, but.
I got smoked though, for all them women out there who are late to the natural hair party, and now you're on Facebook trying to check me about what my comments about women and their hair, like you don't know.
Oh boy.
Like you don't know that I know that you just got to this party. So let's not act like you are the first one to the table and you've been pioneering and setting the trend. You're a latecomer. You're a Johnny and a Jennifer come lately. That's who you are. So
that is so funny. So but now, I'm not so happy because I feel like everybody goes through that. So, you know, if you want to walk around like you're the first person, like it's 2018, if you want to walk around like, you know, like you a guru and like you had your hair, you know, you did that BC like a month ago, but you already doing like, you know, guru channel stuff, then go ahead.
Nah.
I'm not mad at you.
Nah, I'm mad at you. Because
I was, but I'm not anymore.
No, I'm not mad at Glory. I'm mad at you. You know who I'm talking to. You. So, now one of you who I might be talking to, but I'm not talking to, don't take that the wrong way. So, if you got any doubt that I'm talking to you, then I'm not talking to you. Hey guys, remember, this was just part one of a 2-part episode with my friend Gloria talking about her journey with hair. And on the second episode coming up next on Culture and Conversations, we're going to talk about our feelings and our review of Napoli Ever After, the Netflix movie starring Sanaa Lathan. Please go over and listen to that episode so you can get the full context of what we were talking about. And now with that out the way, make sure that you stop by Facebook and subscribe to the Culture and Conversations Facebook page. Please go by there, like it, and follow the page so you can stay up to date with what's going on with the show. If you're on Instagram, you can do so at Culture and Conversations is the Instagram handle. And if you'd like to send me an email, you can do so at cultureandconversations@gmail.com. Well, as my goddaughter would say,
my goddaughter made this.
Yeah, that's right. You guys be good and be sure to go over and listen to the next episode so that you can hear the rest of Gloria's conversation with me. Peace.